This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 309 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
John, you want to hear an interesting factoid?
I always want to hear an interesting factoid.
Today is Monday, May 9th, and we are recording episode 309. Ooh. And exactly 6 years ago, on May 9th, 2016, we released episode 9.
Wow. That's some, like, next-level hoodoo right there.
Yeah, I saw that on my Facebook memoirs today.
Interesting.
Yep. And for those wondering, seeing how we're talking old school, episode 309 is 23.769230769 Baker's Dozens.
Outstanding. So. Gotta love calculator apps.
Yep. My teacher said, it's not like you're going to walk around with a calculator in your pocket. Ha-ha!
I'm going to walk around with a movie theater in my pocket. I'm going to walk around with the collective knowledge of the human race in my pocket.
Pretty much, right?
It's insane. Love to go back and talk to them about that and be like, hey, guess what? Pythagorean theorem, go fuck yourself.
So we got a couple weeks worth to talk about. Last week, we did not record on Monday because I last minute had to stay in work. Boo. And our backup day Tuesday was taken up by me going to see Weird Al Yankovic for the second time in 4 days. Yay! I saw Weird Al in Orono on April 30th and then in Portland on May the 3rd. Both shows were phenomenal. And I guess I didn't... I did not realize, like, it was all original music, no covers, no parodies, all original music, no costume changes, no big screen, just, you know, lights and him and his band on the stage performing. In fact, him and his guitarist sat on stools in the center of the stage, and his keyboardist was at the keyboard, drummer was at the drums, if you will. But, you know, like I said, two shows in Maine. On the 30th, we did the VIP meet and greet. So I got my picture made with him. I got a signed poster I hung on my office at work. Got a couple other things.
Nice.
Tuesday, we had front row on Saturday night in Orono. And then on Tuesday in Portland, we had fifth row on the end. But the way they stagger the rows, it didn't matter. A, B, C, D, E. Yep. Again, phenomenal show. I want to say 75% of the songs he sang were different from Orono to Portland. So there's only a 25% crossover of hearing the same song.
Nice.
But otherwise, it was completely different songs. And I guess I didn't realize how many of his originals I actually knew completely.
Oh,
lyrics
really?
And everything. Yeah. Like I knew a lot. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't get stumped by any of them, actually. So, that's and then his encore was he did a cover song both nights. And then he did a melody or medley of his covers, but done like an unplugged style. And that was the same both nights, but that was outstanding because he finished with Yoda. So now all five concerts of his I've been to, he closes out with Yoda essentially.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's why we didn't record. It's all my fault, but it was well worth it for me. Yeah. But I actually don't have, I have a lot to talk about, but I don't have as much to talk about as I guess I thought I would considering it's 2 weeks worth.
I have so much to talk about.
I don't know. And maybe I have more than I realize.
Well, like I'll say that a lot of my stuff was either reruns or finishing. Like, we finished season two of Russian Doll. And
okay.
it was wonderful. It was not as good as the first season, but I'm not saying it was bad. I'm saying that it was great for what it was. Great story, tragic. You should really check it out. If you like the first season, check out the second one.
Russian Doll, right?
Yeah. And we also, Julia and I, had been going through WandaVision. We finished that. Mm-hmm. Loved it. It was just as good the second time. She nice. Loved it. She loved the arc, the tragedy, the, you know, basically the whole thing was born out of her, you know,
grief. Despair. Yep.
Yeah. And then we, you know, I was pushing because I knew that we were going to go see Doctor Strange on Saturday. And so I was like, we need to get through WandaVision at least, because I know that Wanda is in Doctor Strange. So yep. It would be nice to have that backstory. I said, I assume, though, what I know is that Loki talks about the multiverse and it kind of like leads up to it. I was like, it's 6 episodes. Let's do it. So over the week, we got like 1 or 2 in, and then Saturday we got 3 more in, but we were 1 short. So yeah. On the ride up to Skowhegan, I plugged in my phone. And I said, here you go. I've seen it, but we played it through the speakers yep. in the car. And we got through that one. And then while we sat at the drive-in and waited for the movie to start, we watched the What If episode, What If Stephen Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So the scene in Loki where I'm going to say old man Loki,
mm-hmm.
when he does his distraction
mm-hmm.
and they play that big booming crescendo music.
Mm-hmm.
Crescendo music, was it just as amazing again
it
the second
was.
Time?
It absolutely
I believe it.
Was. Oh yeah.
That's been my favorite scene from that entire series that
yeah.
of Loki was that one scene when I'm gonna say old man Loki, because he stole the show in that with the music. Oh, it was so good. It was mm-hmm. so good.
And the dialogue, the banter between Mobius and Loki was so good. I was reminded again as I watched it how fun it was. Hearing the two of them just like vamping off each other.
Yep.
Loved it. So yeah, that's, you know, when I say I've got a lot to talk about, there was a lot of stuff that it was like, oh, let's watch this stuff to get caught up for Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finishing up Russian Doll and things like that. So,
well, we are going to talk about Doctor Strange at the end of the episode. It will be spoilerific. So definitely
oh, yes.
tune out if you don't want to hear about it.
But that'll be at the end.
Yep. So I finished up. Not finished up, but I'm up to season 3 of Stranger Things. We okay. have the new season coming out in 17 days, 18 days, almost 3 weeks. Okay. Or the first half of the new season. So I'm on. I just finished episode 2 of season 3. And it's called Mallrats. And basically the kids go to the mall and hang out. And it just really reminded me of how awesome the mall used to be and how shitty mm-hmm. it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sincerely, why did the mall used to be so great? Like what happened to them? Like, oh, so like the Auburn Mall, for instance. That's let's talk about the Auburn Mall first.
Sure.
Because they lost one of their anchor stores. The anchor stores, for those that don't know, at a mall, the big store on the end of the mall is called an anchor store, like a Sears or JCPenney or a Porches or whatever. So like the Auburn Mall lost one of its anchor stores when Porches closed, actually. But like even when I was a kid, the Auburn Mall wasn't the biggest mall in Maine, but it had video game exchange, not video exchange, Dream Machines, had a video game store, movie store, arcade, KB Toys, Walden Books, Spencer Gifts. I mean, like the mall was packed. Like as a kid, you could spend the day there, even at the Auburn Mall. And if you're lucky enough to go to the main mall, holy cow. Now the Auburn Mall, at least half, if not more, of the storefronts are completely vacant. And at the main mall, they only have a couple vacant storefronts, but it's definitely not kid friendly anymore or teenage friendly. There's only, right. there's very few stores like as a teenager, if you will, that you could actually hang out at.
Mm-hmm.
Or have a reason to go to. What happened?
So, I mean, from a basic standpoint, the internet happened. But I think it was even before that, because you started getting things like, okay, arcades went by the wayside because video games weren't churning a profit. You know, you couldn't draw people in when they could get the same games at home. You know, once Nintendo really had a foothold in Sega, people could get great video games at home, so they didn't need to go to the arcade for the newest, biggest machines. So arcades started turning into things like the skee balls and the whack-a-moles so that they could make money because, you know, people feed money into it and they get tickets, but the tickets are never as valuable as the money that they're putting in. So now arcades were less of a destination and less of a hangout, more of just like, take your whiny kids there and let them play a few games and then leave. Stores, it's a lot of the internet. You know, as people could order stuff online, there was less reason to go into those stores. And more brick and mortar stores were opening up outside of malls. You know, if you think about like Best Buys and Circuit Cities when they were around, you know, they were opening up standalones or like in small strips rather than the big malls. Also, those big malls, they were always expensive and they would have all kinds of rules to them. I remember when I was at Linens and Things, the Portland Mall, that the store that was down there, they had all these rules that they had to follow strictly by the Portland Mall standards versus the state of Maine rules or anything like that. You know, we didn't have those up in the mall that we were in because we were just a strip. But inside those closed things, they had certain hours that they had to keep. They had to keep so much staff on hand. They had to have multiple entrances and exits. So it was very – it wasn't worth it for some of these businesses to go into the malls because they were paying a ton in rent and they had to follow all these extra rules, which meant that it was cutting more into their profits. So they would opt to go into the strips or the standalones and make more money from it.
Okay. I mean, I guess that does make sense.
It still sucks.
It's just a shame, though.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks. Yeah. Because
I remember, you know, having days where it would be like, let's go to the mall. Let's plan a day to drive to the mall and spend the day shopping.
Yeah, that's what we would do. We'd head down to the mall. We'd have a great time, spend time together, play some video games, check out stores, look at video stores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's how you found most of your videos or DVDs or movies when they came out because, A, you didn't know they came out until you went. And we're like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. What was that store? It was like Pacific Coast.
Oh, yeah. That one was in the
Bangor Mall.
Bangor Mall. Like that was what was fun about that, because if you ever went to the Bangor Mall, which was really a rarity, like they had places that, you know, the Auburn Mall didn't have, period, and everything. So
Yeah, you'd always make a day of it because you'd want to hit the other stores that were off site.
Yep. Like it's now Books a Million, but that used to be the Big Borders.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or, you know, when different stores would move out of the mall to a different place, you'd be like, I got to go over there.
Yeah, because Toys R Us was never in the mall anywhere we went.
No, it was not.
Yeah, Toys R Us was, Toys R Us, again, was never actually in a mall anywhere. It just was there.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the mall, if you will. So... Oh, well, it's a shame, but it is what it is. It's not the end of the world.
No.
But yeah, so watching that really made me miss the mall, Stranger Things.
Gotcha. We watched a little bit of Doctor Who, Daleks in Manhattan, you know, the two-parter there.
Oh, that's a great one.
Right off, she's like, is that Andrew Garfield? Yeah, that's Andrew Garfield. And then he had that awful, like, I don't know if he was trying to do like a Boston accent or a Midwestern accent, but it was terrible.
Wasn't good.
No.
Definitely was not good.
And I told her, I was like, okay, so just so you know, the next two episodes are not that great. But then right after that, we have the two-part Human Nature, Family Blood, which is phenomenal. And then right after that, we have Blink, which is considered, you know, the quintessential Doctor Who episode.
Oh, I'd say so. I'd say that's accurate.
Got to get through two meh ones, and then we get three awesome ones. I still think Family Blood was one of my favorite. Like, the whole ending part there. Oh, the narration talking about what happened to all of them. When you look in the mirror, that's her.
So good.
Yeah.
So freaking good.
So, as far as the shows that we watched, because a lot of them we have like two episodes to talk about, correct?
Yeah, for the most part, I'd say so. Yep.
So, like the Endgame. What are your thoughts on the Endgame now that we're getting into Bonkersville?
Well, I honestly thought like the show was over.
Me too.
Like, if I'm being honest, I thought the fucking show was over.
I did too. I was like, oh wow, that was the finale. No.
Yeah. No. Not at all. No, that was not the finale. Yeah, I thought the show was done, and then we had the way it finished. I don't know. Everyone has these master plans. Everything goes perfectly, but it doesn't go perfectly. And her husband's undercover CIA, and she couldn't know. And so he did it in front of her because he knew he'd go by the book. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then the president is a pawn. But he's trying to play his game, and everybody can get to everybody so easily. And all the president's Secret Service actually work for the Bellex as well. Like, it's just, it's become too convoluted.
Uh-huh.
It's just become way too convoluted. I'll finish it.
Anytime a show pulls out sodium pentothal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And a tremendous amount of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot. Hold
on. Yeah, I mean, I'll finish it, no doubt. I don't know how many episodes we have left. Is it the end game or some shit?
I think it's the end game. Yeah.
There it is. All one word instead of two words.
Yeah.
It says there's 10 episodes. Well, maybe that was a season finale.
Eh. I guess we'll see.
Dude, that was the season finale.
Huh. I wonder if they're getting a second season. Like, it's funny. Both of us thought that it was over.
Yeah.
And because apparently it kind of was, but at the same time, that was not a ending.
Yeah, no, that was not an ending.
The one thing that keeps me going on that and chuckling is the fact that the president is played by the guy who is like the head honcho in Grimm.
Yeah, and Sean Renard.
Yeah. So I keep like, I was pretending like he fled Oregon after everything that happened up there. And now he was making a new life down here. As the president. I wanted Nick to show up and like, hey, we got to talk.
Yeah, no, there's 10 episodes. That was the season finale.
Wow.
Has not been canceled, but has not been renewed for second season either.
Okay.
But that was the season finale.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that's unexpected.
Damn.
Yep.
Well. I mean, if it doesn't come back, I'm really not going to lose any sleep.
Nope, neither am I.
Young Rock was excellent.
Young Rock, I thought, was very, very good.
I've been waiting to talk to you about this. What were your thoughts about the story of his first dark match?
Accurate. That's actually very accurate.
We got to see Triple H. We got to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, a.k.a. the Ringmaster.
Early Steve Austin as the Ringmaster. This is true.
I liked how they were having that discussion. He's like, yeah, Vince gave me this gimmick. I don't really talk. I just kind of go in the ring and I'm really technical and, you know, don't really say much of anything.
And that is exactly what Vince did.
Yep. We got to see The Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that one was, but like everyone they introduced, like the Brooklyn Brawler, Steve Lombardi. Okay, so Colt Cabana, wrestler Colt Cabana, played the Brooklyn Brawler in this. And the Brawler goes and picks up – Steve Lombardi goes and picks him up at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But he's wearing his Brooklyn Brawler gear, like the shirt and the jeans and the hat that he wears when he wrestles as the Brooklyn Brawler. He doesn't mm-hmm. wrestle like that in his everyday life, so I thought that was absurd. But yeah, him coming in, having that match with Lombardi, getting the win, the Iron Sheik telling his parents the results on the phone. I don't know about that. I know he was in the promotion at the time. Him wrestling the next day and losing, that was accurate. And then he got sent to Tennessee, where he wrestled for USWA for a few months before coming as Flex Cavana, before coming back to the main roster.
Nice. So the that rest was all accurate. Fairly accurate.
Yep. Yep. No, I will say, and maybe it's because of The Rock, but they have done a pretty fantastic job of accurately portraying the wrestlers.
So. I'm not a huge wrestling guy, but you know, I was watching back in those days, so mm-hmm. I like getting your perspective because I know that you were heavy into it and that you know all this stuff. So
still am.
Yep. Now we know that this is coming. So I've got to ask, and I'm not going for spoilers here. I'm just curious because we've seen it bounce around here. Now that we've reached the point where he's doing a dark match, you know, and he's going to go to Nashville, and at what point does his dad pass away?
Oh, geez. His dad was alive in 2008.
Oh, okay. So it's
Rocky Johnson just died last year, I think.
Really?
No, 2020, 2 years ago. January 15th, 2020.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that. I thought it was like when he was in his early 20s or something and his dad passed. Okay.
No, because I went to 2008. I went to WrestleMania 24 and to see Ric Flair's retirement match, quote fingers. And it was his last match in the WWE, and he did retire after that for a short time. But anyhow, but at the Hall of Fame that weekend, they inducted Flair, but the opening, they inducted Rocky Johnson and High Chief Peter Maivia. And so The Rock was there to do their inductions.
Nice. And Peter was, of course, posthumous because he's been gone for a while.
Yes. Yeah. But Rocky, the soul man, Rocky Johnson, came out to say his acceptance speech.
Nice. Yep. Now, what did you think? And I had thoughts on this, but when we were doing the whole backstage thing and he was like, that man would go on to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, he gave like the little stats on him, and then it was the GOAT status, and he gave him a GOAT, and then it was Triple H gave him a GOAT, Mick Foley gave him a GOAT, and then The Undertaker, it was like a trail of GOATs.
That's how The Undertaker's treated.
See, I don't agree with that.
I don't think that, like, to me, that's not accurate.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, but I don't think The Undertaker, like, I don't feel that way about Taker. I'd say he's definitely a GOAT in wrestling, yeah. But I don't think he's, like, the GOAT.
And not that much higher than those. Those were three very accomplished wrestlers.
Yep.
And to put him, like, they each get one and he gets, like, 20? No, that's ludicrous.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that. It is ludicrous.
Okay, good.
But here's something else to think about.
Okay.
Right? Shit. Don't tell me. I know what I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, he really had his first match as a dark match in the WWE. He had done nothing but just trained. And trained with his dad and other people and everything. And then, like, his first time in front of a crowd was a dark match in the WWE, which is basically unheard of.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Like, that just doesn't happen. Like, no one has their first match. Even today, like, when WWE signs people that have never wrestled before and they go down to the Performance Center and train, their first matches are on NXT house shows. Or their first matches are in front of the wrestlers only. before they get in front of a crowd. But it's definitely not on television. Oh. It's definitely not in front of at a WWE house show back then, but that's all they had back then. That's why they sent him down to the USWA to get seasoning and experience and not just have him continue on the house show loop. So house shows are non-televised events because it's there for just the people in the house that are watching the show. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So,
The Rookie, we got the 2-episode backdoor pilot for the new FBI series.
Not sure I'm going to watch the new FBI series.
I'm not either. They're repeating what they did with John Nolan, but this time with a sassy woman and
for the FBI.
Yep. I don't know. It wasn't bad, but nothing about it really made me want to watch it.
Yep.
Yeah. As far as I was concerned, it was 2 episodes of The Rookie, you know, where once again, against all odds, they managed to save the day and John Nolan almost dies again. Mm-hmm. Except for this time, he got to teach her what it's like to be an older person and how, you know, you've got wisdom that they don't have. And we got to see her constantly disobey orders and yet still win.
Yep. Yes, they'll come out on top. So it was a little, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that's what The Rookie is, you know?
Right.
Except that they do have consequences. Like Nolan still will never make it higher than training officer because of consequences of his action.
Correct. Yep. I'm fine with that.
Or what was it? The former captain, was it? When she got killed at one of the season finales?
Yes. Yep.
Or commissioner, might have been commissioner.
Yeah, it was the captain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the captain. That's right, because Sergeant Gray. But.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could sit here and rehash everything, but it's The Rookie, you know? It's still a fun show. I still enjoy it, but watching this backdoor pilot, nothing really excited me. Nothing made me like, oh, I can't wait to see more of this. I felt like this is what happens with like the Chicago shows. You know, they had one Chicago show and then they kind of made a backdoor pilot so that they could have another Chicago show, then another one.
And then another. They had 4 at one point, but then Chicago Law or whatever got canceled. So
yes. Yeah. But I feel like with this one, since it's FBI versus LAPD, you might see an occasional crossover, but it's not going to be like, oh, they're all taking place in the same area.
Right.
I guess that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I don't see like the The Rookie and this new FBI show doing a crossover like all the Chicago shows do all the time.
No, maybe down the road, but I don't think that's why they're setting it up. Like the Chicago shows are definitely all set up to like crossover, share screen time, share a neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. But no, I don't see the same happening.
No. This is Us.
Did we have 2 episodes?
We did. We had The Night Before the Wedding, and then we had Miguel.
Okay. So The Night Before the Wedding was Kevin's story of what he did. And essentially it was the long way around of him and Sophie getting back together.
Yes. And honestly, true This Is Us fashion.
And I really think that sums it up. They're back together. Yeah. Because in the Miguel story, which was phenomenal, in my opinion, we see like it's in the future and Sophie and Kevin are together, like in a quick kind of glimpse, they're together at a family event.
Yep.
And they're, you know, so either maybe they're just friends, but it does imply that they're together.
Yeah. This was basically them coming back around to that childhood romance. You know, he fell in love with her the moment she stepped into the classroom as the new student. It was always meant to be. It was destiny. Yeah. And, you know, of course, in true Kevin fashion, he had to try to hit on her, then try to hit on every other woman that he had an opportunity with in the same night until everyone was like, dude, go back to her.
And I liked when he was going to go over and talk to her. And instead, she was like, no, 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 I get to talk this time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And she did. And I liked it when they kissed. Mm. And everyone, and you could hear Randall going like, yeah, like in his voice clapping, and then like, everyone's uh-huh. clapping. It's about time.
It made a lot of sense too, like what yes. she said, because when yeah. he was like, oh, you smell the same, and she's like, no, I've come a long way in my life, I am a different person, you are a different yeah. person, I do not want us to get together and go back to the people that we were. That's yep. one of the smartest things that, you know, people have said on that show in a while.
And I liked when Sophie went to talk to Rebecca. And she was like, oh, Kevin's an idiot, but you guys are young, because she thinks it's 25 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And no, you're not right. Kevin is not ready for you right now. He's just not. Mm. But he will be someday. He will yep. be ready for you, because he'll mature and he'll change. And of course, it makes Sophie see Kevin in a different light.
Yep.
So that was interesting.
Talk about Miguel.
And it was a good episode, but the Miguel episode was so freaking good. It made me ugly cry.
Yeah, it was a rough episode. But again, he's a character yeah. who gets minimal screen time, but it's so good when he does.
Yeah, like this one. Like, you know, it's Miguel as a 10 or 12 year old in Puerto Rico, and their parents moved to Pennsylvania. And we see his mom taking care of his disabled sister, Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
From when they were, say, in their 30s until 70s or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it shows Miguel coming to the United States. He can barely speak English. And then as he grows up and he just wants to try to better himself, better himself, better himself, better himself. And his dad is just like, oh, you straightened your hair. You bring your fancy car around. His dad's basically kind of jealous of the life his son has created. And when his son's like, why are you mad at me? You brought us here. You brought us to America. You said to learn English. You said to assimilate. You said to do this and this. And that's exactly what I've done. So why are you mad at me that I succeeded more than you could? And his dad gave a response that, like, I wasn't expecting, which is, you're absolutely right. I don't know why. It's a great question. Ask yeah. me again later.
Ask me again later. Love that.
Yeah. And this episode, it does have its flashbacks. It starts with Miguel and Rebecca older, and him getting up in the morning to take care of her, because she gets up every day at 6:45, and her Alzheimer's is getting worse. And when she sees him, she's centered, and he takes care of her every morning. And that is interspersed with a passage of time with Miguel as a kid, Miguel coming to the United States and growing up. Miguel getting his first job, where he got his first job and he lied and said his name was Mike, because when he sent his resume as Miguel, he couldn't get a call back. But as Mike, he got a call back and he got a job.
I love it. I love that. He's like, yeah, twice I applied as Miguel and never got a call. And the guy just like took it right in stride. He's like, okay, so we'll start you on Monday.
Yeah. It's Miguel, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's worried about pronouncing it correctly. We see, you know, they don't delve into how Jack and Miguel met, because we already know. We mm-hmm. see how Rebecca and Miguel met, where Jack's like, oh, let me go check out your new car. I'll go alone while you guys sit and talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We see the friendship that the three of them have. We see Miguel meet his wife, Shelley, and then they get divorced, and Jack dying, and them kind of getting together, Miguel and Rebecca, but then Miguel moving to Houston, Texas.
Right, because we had gotten that part.
We already saw that story, yes.
But then we got the full, like, he actually moved to Houston, and he was there for years. And
Miguel comes home after his father dies. And his mom, who's still taking care of her elderly sister, talks about, like, how he hated his sister. She hated her sister when they were younger. And then after her accident, you know, she loves her sister and doesn't want anything bad to happen to her. And we kind of see Miguel older taking care of Rebecca the same way that his mom took care of his aunt, her sister. We see how Miguel and Rebecca met in 2008. You know, they kind of 10 years later. And he actually retires and goes and moves with her. We see when the kids find out how everyone doesn't like it because, you know, they still haven't gotten over their dad dying 10 years ago.
God, I wanted to slap Kevin when he was just like, Thanksgiving's canceled. I'm taking the hat. Fuck you, you spoiled little fucking cunt.
Exactly. God,
kid.
And then we go forward to 2026, so 4 years from now, I guess. And they had kind of briefly talked on when Miguel and Randall did the wine tasting, how Miguel was getting older himself. And even though Rebecca was paying, I mean, Kevin was paying for a nurse for Rebecca, Miguel still wanted to do everything. It's in neglecting his own health. And he falls in the driveway after trying to go out to get Rebecca in the middle of the night because she woke up and wandered outside.
And was dancing in the snow.
Yep. And like the kids talk Miguel into accepting a homemade. And when he's just like, no, I have screwed up everything in my life. I screwed up. The only thing, basically, he's like, the only thing I've ever done right is my friendship with your father and how much I love Rebecca. And I will take care. I screwed up. I'm messing up with my dad, with my mom, with my own kids. I've made a vow. I'm not going to screw this up. And, you know, the kids are just like, Miguel, we love you. We're not doing this to you. We're doing this for you. You need help too. Like, we want someone to take care of not mom because you can't do it, but because you both need someone to take care of you, essentially. And he accepts it. And we see that, you know, the nurse coming and taking care of both of them. And even like Miguel doing his routine with Rebecca, but Kevin's there to like help Miguel up, to help Rebecca up. You know what I mean? Which is just like, and then, you know, Kevin goes to see Miguel's son, Andy. And I think this is this part where I think was awesome, where he comes outside because he knows who Kevin is. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about the relationship with you and your dad. I assume it wasn't good because you don't talk to each other. But he's got heart failure and the doctor doesn't know how much longer he has. And then Kevin goes, in fact, I don't really know anything about Miguel because I've never asked him. But he's got heart failure and the doctor says he doesn't have much longer to live and you don't want to leave things unsaid. Trust me, you'll regret it. And I loved Andy's response of like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, how am I supposed to, and Kevin's like, yeah, I don't know.
He's like, I got no idea. You just do it.
Yeah.
But then we see a little later on that, you know, the family's all gathered around enjoying a holiday and his son is there.
Yes. And that's when we get the famous, you know, this is us montage of passage of time and the family doing stuff together. And that's when we see a quick flash of Sophie and Kevin together and, and Miguel's son's there and his grandkids are there and Rebecca's grandkids are there and they're all together and this and that. And there's also this progression of this tree they planted where they planted this apple tree and then they picked a fruit off it. And then it's bigger. Now it's a huge tree. But Miguel is clearly dead because Rebecca's in a wheelchair and they're all there in black by the apple tree. And then Kevin and Andy are in Puerto Rico on the baseball diamond Miguel played at when he was a kid, dumping ashes. And then Rebecca and the other kids, and I'm guessing Andy's wife are there pouring out the ashes at the apple tree, you know. I'm not going to lie. That was super emotional for me.
Yeah. all the things that we've seen of Miguel, you know. I remember the first episode of this show when we saw at the very end Miguel and Rebecca walk through the door and everybody was like, oh shit, he stole his best friend's wife. What the hell? What a dick. And then we've seen the growth over the years, and we've seen, you know, how basically Miguel has taken Toby and Randall's wife aside, and you know, they've all talked about how they're on the outside of the Pearson clan, and Beth, and you know, we've seen how Miguel, no matter what, has been a good guy. He's taken a lot of shit, not just from his family, but from the Pearsons, from everybody. Everybody around him has given this guy heaps of shit, and he's always just been like, nah, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the bigger thing, and he's been really good overall. So, yeah, this was a very emotional send off and rough.
Yeah, it was rough. It was very emotional. It was very rough. The only one, like you said, everyone's kind of shit on him, from his own kids to everybody else. And the only one that's really paid attention to him or loved him or whatever is Rebecca.
And before that, Jack.
Yes, of course, Jack. But I mean, yes, but since Jack passed, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. And even when she tried to love him, her kids were assholes about it. I like the thing when she was like, oh, yeah, when he came into town, we hooked up. And they're like, what? And he's like, no, we got together. She's like, why? What does hooked up mean? Oh, it means you had sex. Oh, no, that didn't start for a while.
We just hung out as friends. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, good times. But no, it was a good episode. And yeah, I definitely got emotionally wrecked by it. So.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, what else we got? The Connors is good. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
I'm still enjoying the hell out of it. Fun little show. Did we talk about the Ghost season finale already? Yes, we did. We did.
Yeah. Did we?
God, that's the thing, is I don't remember.
Last I remember, you hadn't watched that one or the one before it yet. Because Kate went out of town, remember?
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm completely caught up. Like, we watched Attic Girl.
Yes.
You know,
the Attic Girl.
The prom girl who got murdered on prom night on the town, and for whatever reason, she's only awake one day a year, which is the night she was killed. Yeah. And she lusts after No Pants Guy.
Trevor.
And he wants nothing to do with her because she's 17, but in reality, she's like, I'm like 53 now.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about Sam falling for a very stupid French pen pal that was going to fly from Paris, France, to her prom, and she didn't question it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she got made fun of. Stephanie, the ghost, tries to make fun of Sam and gets the other ghost to join in. And then when they find out what actually happened, that it wasn't just a funny joke, that they were shitting on Sam, they were all got really pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they have the prom and everything happens, and she plays the Can't Hardly Wait music to walk down the stairs to her husband. And then they dress up her room like with posters and shit, so she can go to sleep for a year and be like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But of course, you know, one of the posters is of her favorite band, U2.
And oh, then when Hedy plays
that they're Irish, she like wants to rip it down, and she's going nuts. Get that out of here.
The Farns B&B, that was excellent. The season finale.
Yes. Cousin Larry. And we're definitely getting a second season, which is nice.
Yep. But the episode ends with their first guests finally arriving. But through the whole episode, they talk about termites chewing through some wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes the floor to collapse just as they open the door for their guests.
Yep.
So that's pretty funny. Thorfinn thinks he put a curse on them, the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him when he's like, oh, you have to go across the world to find the what you need to reverse the curse. Like what? Like a pound of sugar. Okay, yeah, I got that. A whole pound, you know. And cinnamon.
And I love his descriptions for it, too. They're like, you know, a spice from the Far East that will make your mouth water just by smelling it. And he's like, cinnamon. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's in the cupboard.
Yeah.
She's like, nah, I think we're going to be good with this.
So that was all pretty hilarious, in my opinion.
Yes.
But she doesn't want to reverse the curse or even risk it, because one of the ghosts says, well, what if you can't see us anymore? What if it reverses it and you didn't have your accident and now you can't see us?
Right.
And I love how Jay's like, okay, what are they saying? Because you're not mixing this together. And she's like, well, there's a chance that if I do, I'll never see them again. And they won't be able to talk to me. And I like how Jay's just like, oh, well, you can't do that.
Yep.
I love his character, how on board he is with everything.
Uh-huh.
You know?
But every now and then perturbed at some of the stuff they do.
Yes. But I think it's great when she's like, who's the guy with the arrow in his neck? I want to say Nate. Pete. Okay. And when something like, oh, Pete's here. Oh, Pete's here. Hey, Pete, how's it going? You know,
yeah.
Like he gets excited for someone like, he can oh, never
man,
see.
I love Pete.
Yeah. But the Farnsbys, they open their own bed and breakfast to try to thwart Sam and Jay's bread and breakfast and try to steal their customers. But it turns out they hate running a bed and breakfast and they don't want to do it. And they just want to buy the house so they can't open one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they challenge them to a game of pickleball. And the winners will, you know, for basically if you win, you'll close your bread and breakfast. If we win, we'll sell you the house. Oh, if we win, you close your bread and breakfast. You win, we'll sell you our house. Mm-hmm. And Jay's great at pickleball, but it's a lot different in real life than playing from a video game.
I love that.
I think it's funny they win by default because, you know, the Farnsbys, like the cousin Larry, like, has like a cramp or something and can't finish, so they
yeah, forfeited like the game. Threw his back out or something.
Yeah, so I think that's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But no, I love the show. Really can't wait to watch it again. Wait for a second season. It's fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I like it.
Kate and I have been watching Deadliest Catch. The new season came back. They've had 3 episodes already, and mm-hmm. For the first time in like 25 years or maybe even longer, but first time in the history of the show at the very least, but like the red king crabs, which is the crabs that they buy, that they're fishing every year and selling and everything. The Alaska fishery closed the season before it started. So like they thought the population was too low, so they did not allow king crab fishing. So, which is really like crazy. So like they're trying to figure out what else they can do. So some people are fishing cod, some are going for these golden crabs that are way deeper and worth now more money this year because there's no king crabs. Wow. And then a couple people, including the Northwestern skipper there, I can't think of his name. He actually went to Norway and got a boat together and he's fishing king crabs in Norway.
Mm.
So
interesting.
Yeah, Sig Hansen. So yeah, I think we enjoy the show. Another show we finally finished up was this season of The Curse of Oak Island.
And?
Dude, so we've always enjoyed the show. We look forward to watching it. We went to Oak Island. We toured it. We met, you know, Rick Lagina and Gary Drayton and Charles Barkhouse and everything. And we're very much fascinated by what's going on there.
Right.
But 29 episodes is way too fucking long. Especially considering how each episode is only 40 minutes. So they have 20 minutes of commercials, which we don't watch the commercials. We don't have to deal with them at all. And they could easily cut 10 minutes out of every episode. Because like, they didn't find the treasure, obviously. There's a lot of fascinating stuff, but it was just too long, too many episodes, too much dead time. I mean, we both started falling asleep while watching it. And we'd have to like go back and finish it the next day because we fell asleep with 20 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, and we both slept through the end of it. So I like the show. We find the concept fascinating, but holy cripes.
The fact that you're even yawning about it as you're talking about it.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm trying to emphasize it. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, again, I don't regret it, but boy, way too many episodes.
Yeah. 29 is a lot.
29 is a lot.
Even at the peak of, TV series, you know, 22 or 23 was a season. 24 was the max.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like this year, like This Is Us has 18 episodes for their final season. And that being said, Ghost was 18 episodes for their full season.
Yep.
We only got 3 episodes of This Is Us left, by the way.
Wow.
I'm still watching Winning Time, the Lakers show. I'm really enjoying the hell out of it.
It's just about done, isn't it?
Yep.
For the season?
Yep, it is. Yep. But yeah, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. There's a new show that's on there that I haven't watched any of yet, but it's like the Staircase.
Just watched the first episode. I was just going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. How'd that treat you?
Good. It's based on real events. It was a crime that happened in... Well, they keep jumping around in time, but basically the rundown on IMDb is tells the story of Michael Peterson, a crime novelist accused of killing his wife, Kathleen, after she's found dead at the bottom of a staircase in their home, and the 16-year judicial battle that followed. So it jumps around a lot, and you get bits and pieces of the story. It's like an 8-episode miniseries. It's good so far. It's very gripping. And knowing that it's based on real events, but it's got so many like stars, like Colin Firth is playing the main character. His wife is played by Toni Collette. Sophie Turner is one of the kids. Dane DeHaan is one of the kids. Like it's filled with, people that are like, oh wow, that person hasn't been around in a bit, but they're all very good actors. So it's very interesting. I can't wait to see the rest of it play out, but it's jumping between nowadays or, 2017 and then 2001. Check it out. It's good.
All right. I'll probably watch it with the wife. So, there's only 10 episodes of Winning Time, and the last episode aired last night. So, yep.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Jeez, finishing up all kinds of shows. Halo. Yeah. You watching Halo?
I watched one more episode of Halo.
So how many have you watched now?
I can't remember, but this one was the one where they started testing the other Spartans against the artifact, having them grab hold of it to see if they would have a reaction like Master Chief did. Meanwhile, he went back and found where he grew up as a boy.
Okay, so...
I don't know, like 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm caught up. I'm caught up, if you will.
Yeah.
So I've watched 7.
Still liking it?
I am. I don't have a reason to not watch it.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it so far. But we will. I guess we'll see where you get when you get there. I mean, it's not like, oh my god, you have to watch this movie. This TV show, it's so fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's good. I enjoy it.
Nice. Did you finish Picard?
I did finish Picard, and I'll just say this about it. It ended rather unexpectedly.
Yes.
I thought the ending of Picard was going to lead to like a tease for next season.
Me too.
And it did not. It just sort of ended.
Yeah. There were, and it was one of those a couple of times I thought, oh, there's the ending. Nope, we're still going. Oh, this must be the ending. Nope, we're still going.
Well, And episode 9 actually felt like it was the ending.
Yeah. Yeah, when she gave that prophetic message and then just like peaced out, I was like, ooh, neat. Oh, wait, there's another episode. Hold on.
Yeah. And the way it ended, I had forgotten how the show began.
Right.
You know, with the Borg Queen showing up on the ship. What was the ship called? Stargazer. Mm-hmm. And everything else. And then, of course, as soon as they cut back to her, I was like, oh, it's Agnes.
Yep.
And it was.
Yep. And that's why the music was playing.
Yep. Because she would, because she's the Borg Queen, but she's completely different than what it was, and she, I guess, runs the Borg differently than they were, and
yeah, instead of like forcing them into assimilation, they're inviting them and yep. letting them still maintain their individuality as part of the collective.
And they've requested membership into the Federation to watch this transwarp conduit.
Yeah.
They want to be professional members. The one that was
just born and almost destroyed the entire galaxy from it.
Yep. Yep. So, because it was going to be a galactic event or whatever. And
yep.
Yeah. I liked it, but I thought for sure we were going to get a setup for the third season with the Next Generation crew. I mean, we did see Wesley Crusher.
That was awesome.
Yeah. How he came to Corey. How great
was that?
And he's like, oh, basically they're going to be Watchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Because it, you know, it brought you back to what happened with him in the Next Generation.
Yes. Yeah. What did you think about Data, you know, Song, having that file called Project Khan?
That was interesting. I want to know if they're going to expand more on that or if it was just like a little Easter egg nugget.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was very interesting because they'd said that Khan was, you know, genetically perfect. You know, he was created to be perfect. So, you know, I loved that.
Which is what he was trying to do with Corey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I loved it, but I'm wondering if, you know, like I said, is it going to be something that we'll see in the next season? Probably not, because the next season will probably take place with the Next Generation cast, which is yeah. well beyond Khan's time. But yeah.
But yeah, he I mean, it could have just been that tease, like you said.
Yeah.
I did like how the end of Picard, where he just basically goes to see Laris and he's just like, oh, hey, I've learned my lesson. Let's give it a go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I could have done without Guinan's the
travelers,
little...
They call them the Travelers.
Yeah.
Sorry, but basically they're the Watchers, but they call them the Travelers on this.
Yes. I could have done without Guinan's little, boy, you're not very observant. I've had that picture of Rios up there on the wall for all this time. I'm like, yeah. Like, if that had appeared in the Next Generation and they were calling back to it, fucking awesome. In this case, meh, that's a little... Stop it. You know, yep. that's just yep. stupid writing. Not even lazy writing, just stupid writing. But what did you think about the overarching story with Q? Because this is, I mean, I say overarching, this has been going on since the Next Generation.
I liked it.
I thought it was phenomenal. The way that he explained it. The way that he basically just picked Picard and that he loved him.
And that he always respected him.
Yeah, always respected him, always wanted to see him succeed. And, you know, he didn't want to die alone. And he knew that he was going to no matter what. So he was essentially trying to free Jean-Luc from his demons.
Yep.
Oh, so good. I like when he had that little bit there where he was like, Jean-Luc's going to put the key back. And he's like, you thought about destroying it for a bit, didn't you? But then if you destroyed it, he'd never find it and he'd never let her out. And then you would never be born of that tragedy and you would never be you. And, oh, so good.
Speaking of Star Trek, did you watch Strange New Worlds?
I did not. Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Well, one episode in so far?
Yep. One episode in.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Okay. Excellent.
I absolutely love it.
Oh, good. I can't wait to check it out.
And, yeah. Yeah, I do. I love it. I think it's fantastic. Awesome. I like how they address Discovery.
Okay.
There's something that happened on Discovery that feeds into this episode, which is great.
Excellent.
Yeah, I really look forward to watching these the next episode's Children of the Comet. I really enjoy looking these Monster of the Week episodes. You know what I mean? Like that, they're all mm-hmm. gonna be standalone. That's not all standalone, but basically they're gonna be mostly standalone episodes or standalone stories.
Nice.
Just a new adventure every week, and I'm really much looking forward to it. And yeah, I'm very excited. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm very excited.
Because that's what Star Trek used to be. You know, regular Star Trek, Next Generation, they were essentially Monster of the Week episodes with, you know, sometimes an overarching, like Q showed up multiple times. And, you know, there was always something going on. Or even with Voyager, you know, they were always trying to get home, but they were Monster of the Week episodes.
Yep.
And then Discovery kind of broke away from that. And it did a good job with what it had for a few seasons, but it started getting annoying because
I missed the
standalones.
Really, the only one that wasn't was Deep Space Nine. That was a continuous story, but again, Deep Space Nine was an outpost, so they weren't flying around to new worlds, meeting new people. You know what I mean? So it kind of had to be the way it was.
Right.
Any other shows?
I think the only other show was Moon Knight.
Okay. What did you think of the Moon Knight finale?
So we had two episodes again. Now, when you and I left off, we had just gotten Mark had been shot, and we got a brief glimpse of the whole, oh, he's in an insane asylum and, you know, he's got the doll. And we were talking about whether or not this was real. And you and I had very different views on it. I loved it. You were not a fan. So then we got episode 5, which was a head trip and a half because it kind of doubled down on the institution. But it also gave us Tafiti, the hippo goddess who, you know, ushers them across the desert sands, either to be thrown out to the sands and, you know, dragged down with the cursed souls or make their way to the reeds of paradise.
Yeah.
And
but she explains that they're dead.
Yeah.
And that the hospital they're in is really the boat sailing through the Egyptian afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, I can get behind that. That makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. And so we kept jumping back and forth between it being the hospital and Harrow being the doctor and basically trying to convince Mark/Steven that they were crazy. We got to see Steven was blown away by what was going on in the memories, and he was trying to find more memories of what happened with their mother. Yeah. And Mark didn't want him to.
Well, but we find out why.
Yeah.
He wasn't protecting him. He was protecting himself.
Yes.
Because Mark created, quote, finger Steven as a way to deal with his abuse from his father and mother there. Mother's abuse, where she would beat Mark severely. And so Steven was created to take the beating for him.
Yep.
And then disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark didn't have to deal with the beating, and that's a real shitty thing.
That is a real shitty thing because his mother essentially snapped. He had a younger brother, and they went to a cave that they went to frequently, but they were always told not to go in there when it was raining.
Yeah,
because the water washed in fast, and
his
brother died. His brother ended up drowning in that cave, and his mother was never the same after that and blamed him. Like, completely blamed him. You killed him. You ruined this. It's all your fault. I'll never be the same. And his dad was a piece of shit because he was so passive and stood by and let his mother do all this stuff, let him take the beatings, and basically told him, you know, well, we have to be good to your mother. We have to try to help her. And so as soon as Mark was old enough, he was like, fuck you, I'm out of here. And his dad's like, no, no, stay. She needs to get better. Well, she's not going to get better. But yeah, like you were saying, he had posters up for that movie that he loved with Dr. Stephen Grant, the fearless explorer. And that's where he came up with that personality of Stephen to take all the beatings. And it was only recently when his mother died and his dad sent him a message and said, hey, your mom's dead. And he showed up for the Shiva.
Yeah.
But he never went in. Like, he saw his dad through the door and his dad was like, come in. He's like, no. And he was drinking. He's like, no, I'm out of here. And then had a breakdown in the street because basically, you know, he would never get to have closure with her and he hated everything that had happened.
Yep.
And he broke down so hard that Stephen came out and started talking to his mom on the phone, which nobody was actually there. And, that, as he said, that was the day that they started bleeding into each other. That was the day, because he had always kept Stephen compartmentalized. Stephen was just there to take the worst of things. But they ended up working together, and it was actually really beautiful.
The way I thought it was as well.
Yeah, the way that they worked together. They had to balance their hearts because they had two different hearts, and your heart had to be balanced against the feather to make it to the afterlife, but neither one of his hearts were whole. And it wasn't until Stephen realized that he was Mark. He's like, Mark, you've got this. And he's like, wait, if you've got this, I've got it too. And saved him, sacrificed himself to save Mark. And then the heart balanced and Mark was able to go on to the afterlife. And then we get the finale.
Yeah. Where Dr. Harrow there frees Ahmet, kills the avatars of the other Egyptian gods.
Pretty easily, too.
Yeah, very easily. Layla releases Khonshu's. Remember, he got put in stone, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark got to the Fields of Reeds, but because he left Stephen behind, he refused to stay, so he ran back to get Stephen. And then with the hippopotamus-headed Egyptian goddess, or with her help, they managed to get through. Yeah, thank you. They managed to get through the gates of Osiris, and Khonshu, after fighting with Ahmet and getting his ass whooped, it feels that Mark Spector's back and bonds with his body to bring him back to life, restores his powers. And now we see them switching between the Spector Moon Knight and the Grant Moon Knight very easily, which is hilarious.
Loved it. Loved the synchronicity there.
And then, Layla finds out that Ahmet can be defeated again, and becomes the temporary avatar of what is it?
Tafiti.
Tafiti. There we go.
The Scarlet Scarab.
Which I loved her as that character. I thought it was fantastic. You see the little girl like, are you an Egyptian superhero? Yes, I am. So we have basically Mark Spector and Stephen Grant's versions of Moon Knight with Khonshu fighting. Harrow and Ahmet. So you have the Khonshu huge version and the huge Ahmet fighting, and then you have, you know, Harrow fighting with Spectre and Grant and Layla, and they're fighting back and forth. And then we have this scene where Spectre's being killed, Layla's being assaulted and beat up, and it looks like Ahmet's going to destroy Khonshu. And then there's a blackout, and it cuts back to, and he has like Harrow's body or whatever. And then Ahmet gets destroyed and we don't know what happened. And both Stephen and Mark are like, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Did you do that? I don't know who did that. So I think it's pretty cool. Mark tells Khonshu to release him from his service, and he does. So he's back in the hospital. But then, of course, they discover that, oh, you know what? We're not here. We're fine. We can talk back and forth. We're leaving. Like, this is not a real place. And they kind of leave. And that's like, all right, great. And then we get the mid-credit scene. Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Okay.
So Harold gets released from the hospital.
Kinda.
He gets brought outside by a guy. We don't know who he is. Conchu's in the car with him, like the small version. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, meet my buddy Jake Lockley. And the window goes down, and then there's like Spectre and Grant's third person who's still working for Conchu, and he shoots Harrow, kills him.
Yep.
And this is when they both black out and no one knows what happens. This guy's the one that's doing everything.
Yep. And I thought it was cool that basically Conchu was like, Mark Spector thought that I wanted Layla. Why would I want her when I've still got at least one of him? And he's like, he has no idea how damaged he really is.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
I had to look it up because I don't know a lot about Moon Knight from the comics, and I purposely didn't want to look anything up until after this. So apparently in the comics, Mark Spector was the guy. He was a crime fighter that worked as Moon Knight, but he was a mercenary. But he had these – they weren't other personalities at first. Stephen Grant was his – they were disguises. So Stephen Grant was a disguise that he had, which was a – rich playboy type, and he used him to infiltrate white collar criminals and the high mucky mucks to get information on them. Jake Lockley was another one. He was the cab driver that he would use to get information on the scumbags, the criminals, you know, the lowlifes. But through Conchu's influence, through everything that he did, and through jumping back and forth, because it was like Fight Club. He had massive insomnia. So all of that took such a toll on him that eventually these became actual alternate personalities, and he developed dissociative identity disorder from it. So it's different than it was in the show, but I loved this. I loved this show, and I really hope they get a second season.
Yeah, I really dug Moon Knight. I mean, and I really hope they get a second season as well.
Yep. I thought that it was great. I would love to see it perpetuated. I would love to see more of the personalities working together and trying to figure out who Jake is. And if there's even more, there could be more personalities kicking around in there.
Yeah, we don't know. And like yourself, I'm not like familiar with the Moon Knight comic books either.
So I think that's all the shows.
Yeah, I got some movies to talk about.
Yep.
But let's go out of order.
I've only got the one movie to talk about. So.
I got a few, so let's go out of order.
Okay.
Let's see here. God, how far do we need to go back on these trailers?
I think the first one that we need to go back to... Wow, that's a ways. Shorzy? Yeah, I think Shorzy was the first one.
Okay, so Shorzy, that is a spinoff of Letterkenny, the Shorzy hockey player character that we've never seen his face or who he is, but we all know it's played by the guy that plays the lead actor on Letterkenny.
I was going to say it sounded like him.
It's his voice, but we've never seen Shorzy until this trailer where he comes out and it's him, as that actor, whatever his name is, Jared Kenny or some shit. Okay. I don't know, I'll watch it. But Shorzy sometimes is one of the parts of the show I don't like because it just goes on too long and long, like with the insults all the time.
It did seem to go on for a long time.
Yeah. But it is what it is. Oh, I sent you the Disney 2022-2023 movie slate. So
nothing I was shocked about.
Nope. Same here. Weird Al Yankovic story teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Which I watched on the same day I went to my second Weird Al Yankovic concert.
I thought that was so great that you were up there and I was like, oh, I got to send this to him now.
No, I loved it. I thought it was great. I look forward to it. It's on the Roku channel. I hope there's no commercials. Mm-hmm. But they did a great job with Zoe's Infinite Christmas or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I feel like they can do a good job with this. Weird Al talked about it at the concert. He goes, hey, the trailer for my new movie came out today. Have you guys seen it? Yeah, I thought you had. Anyhow, so right before we started this tour, we recorded a new song. We recorded a brand new song for the movie, and we'd like to play for you right now. And then there's a pause. He goes, but yeah, we can't because we signed an NDA. So instead, here's the theme to UHF.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Cobra Kai season 5 date announcement and trailer. Okay.
Yeah. So part of this was cool. Like seeing that Silver is in charge and, you know, they're opening up all these dojos and everybody else is shut down. I'm like, ooh, okay. So they're really moving forward with that. I hated the part about Robbie and Johnny going down to Mexico and he's like, you should have told me we were going after Miguel.
Yeah.
I'm like, done. Don't
we're
care.
We're never going to be friends.
Yep.
Yeah. I think maybe they've done gone back to the well maybe one too many times.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that they're bringing Chosen in as a regular character, I'm like, no, that doesn't need to happen. He was great in his little one-off episode. I loved it. I don't need to see him as Daniel's new partner.
Nope, me neither. I sent you the first look at the Quantum Leap reboot starring Brandon Lee and Ernie Hudson.
Oh, so excited about that. The fact that Donald Belisario is still in on it.
Yep. Yep. I'm excited about it. I really can't wait to watch that. I'm just really excited about it. It's going to be on NBC. I really can't wait to check it out because I love the original series. I'm going to say it doesn't really hold up well.
No, especially the first few episodes. Watching the green screen technology of people walking through Al is painful to watch.
Yeah, the concept and story holds up, but the execution doesn't hold up very well.
Yeah, but I love the idea that this is the exact same universe. It's 30 years after Sam Beckett stepped into the machine, and now they're all trying to figure out what happened, and the government wants to take it over. Love that.
Yep, I'm here for it. I sent you the first look, the first image of Netflix's new comedy series about the last Blockbuster store.
Yep, I'm there for it.
I think it's hilarious that the company that is essentially responsible for killing the home video rental service industry is going to have a comedy series about the last video rental service. And you know what I mean? The last rental chain store of Blockbuster.
Yep.
So, you know what's funny? Up here in the Northeast, the only Blockbuster I knew about in Maine was in Lewiston.
Yeah, and like I'd go to Lewiston.
I was physically in the store to buy from the sell through. You know, when they were going out of business and they were selling their movies off and everything. But otherwise, like, I never once rented there. I never had a Blockbuster card. You know, we rented at Movie Gallery. That was our local chain.
Yep. You know,
Sounds Easy and Home Vision, then Movie Gallery. You shared some news about the new Doctor Who?
Yeah. He's, I believe he's the best friend on Sex Education.
Okay.
Great guy, great actor. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's going to be the first black male to play Doctor Who.
Yep. And Russell T. Davies is back in charge, so... Yep. I think it's going to be really cool.
Like I said, I have no idea who this is, but I trust Russell T. Davies. So
yeah.
I'm here for it.
And I had sent you that May 20th, there's going to be a 2-part documentary on HBO, George Carlin's American Dream.
Oh, that's right. That was over. Yes, that was on the Instagram feed. Yes, I am here for anything George Carlin. So
it's directed by Judd Apatow. So, it's a 2-part documentary. I don't even need to see a trailer. I'm just going to watch it.
Yep. Nope. I don't need to see a trailer at all. Do not need to. It is unnecessary. So,
there was a trailer today that dropped for the next Avatar movie.
Oh, it's really?
Like the Power of Water or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, I watched that and went, yeah, I'm not going to bother sending that.
I saw it when I went and saw Doctor Strange.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
It's in here.
Oh, hey, by the way, apparently, like, this just popped up when I accidentally clicked on my Facebook feed when I was looking through our trailers that we share. Apparently, the new Westworld trailer got leaked.
No.
And it premieres June 26th, Westworld Season 4.
Wow, that's coming right up.
Yep.
How have we not gotten a trailer yet?
I have no idea.
That's weird.
So, I mean, I don't know who's in it. So, Season 4 apparently began airing on June 26th.
Oh, did you see the trailer this week, too, for the House Targaryen series that's coming on HBO?
Yep, in August, yep.
Yep. Eh, looks okay. So, Matt Smith looks great.
Yeah,
Julia just said always.
So essentially, this Westworld trailer isn't showing us anything. It's showing us like slow scenes and people, and not really any storyline. Like the majority of the cast appears to be coming back, but there's no way we could tell you what it's about.
Yeah, first season was still the best, but I'm definitely geared up to watch it.
Yeah, it. I couldn't even tell you how the season 3 ended at this point. It's been so friggin' long.
I remember it was something about her being in the real world, and I don't remember much else other than that.
I hope hopefully we get a they'll previously do a previously on Westworld.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't had. Yeah, season 3 aired March to May 2020, so it's been 2 years.
Damn. And of course,
the first season came out in 2016.
You figure March to May of 2020, that was peak pandemic.
Yeah.
So we were watching it. We were like, yeah, but then also the world was melting around us, and we didn't know what was going on. So.
But the first season was October to December 2016, and then season 2 was April to June 2018, and season 3 was March to May 2020, and now it looks like season 4 is going to be June to, I don't know, October, June to September 2022. So, like, this has been an every 2 year show anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I don't know if I'll go back and rewatch the first couple of seasons.
I don't think I will be. You never know, I guess.
What were there, like 10 episodes per season or something?
10 episodes in seasons 1 and 2, 8 episodes in season 3.
Yeah, maybe I will. Just because I don't think Julia's seen it. So that could be fun. Sometimes that's a lot more fun, is watching it a second time with somebody who's never seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Movies?
Yeah.
All right. So I watched one movie. It was a rerun for me. Wrath of Man. Did you ever see that one, Jason Statham?
I did not.
Oh, it's on Paramount, I believe. It's excellent. It's worth your time.
Okay.
It really is. It's Jason Statham being Jason Statham. You know, badass, kills a bunch of people, badass. It's a good movie. It's worth your time.
Nice.
I watched one that apparently came out in 2018 and was on Shudder in 2019 and somehow escaped my radar. It's called You Might Be the Killer.
Interesting title.
It stars Allison Hannigan and a couple other people.
What? Yeah. Hello?
And it's like an homage to 80s horror movies, but it's a comedy as well. And I don't want to tell you anymore. I bought the DVD for $275 and I paid $325 shipping. And it was brand new. And I watched it and I enjoyed the hell out of it. So if you'd like to borrow it, because it's not streaming anywhere that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah, I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's funny. It's good. I watched Old Henry at the suggestion of my buddy Brandon because he saw it on Showtime and he loved it so much he bought it. I think it's on Showtime right now, perhaps. I don't know. But I don't have it, so I Redboxed it. And it's a Western, stars Tim Blake Nelson as a guy named Henry.
Is he Steven, old?
No, apparently. Stephen Dorff and Trace Atkins are in it. And I really don't want to give it away. It takes place in 1906 Oklahoma. And it's apparently about this guy, this average farmer and his son, and trouble finds them. And they don't know who they're messing with. The son doesn't know who his dad really is. One of those type of things.
Okay.
And about midway through, I figured out who it was. Or I figured out what it was about, or who, you know what I mean? Who he was supposed to be, type of thing. I mean, honestly, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Nice.
It's a good Western. If you like Westerns, it's definitely worth your time. There's some good killings near the end. Some good gunplay. Not the greatest, but definitely some good gunplay. Had a low budget.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked it.
It's nice when you get a recommendation and it turns out good.
Yeah. It's funny because Tim Blake Nelson, he did the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And he spent 5 months learning how to handle a gun, to do all the trick shooting and everything, to do the pistol tricks and whatnot. And so when he got this role, he was like, okay, I can use a gun, so might as well put it to work.
Okay.
So it's funny, he goes, he wanted for Henry by the end of the movie to be vastly different from the character that he was at the beginning of the movie, and for the audience to never be able to name a single moment where the transition happened. And now that I've read that he said that about the character, I gotta say, he did it. That's exactly what he did.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a good Western.
Nice.
I watched Fresh.
What did you think of Fresh?
Holy shit.
Are you glad I didn't say anything?
So this movie came out on Hulu in March. So if you haven't seen it yet, the only thing we're going to talk about is this and Doctor Strange. Spoilers galore.
Talk so you might want to bounce now.
Because I got to say, as you know, Doctor Strange is going to be a hard sell for both of us. Go watch the movie. It's amazing.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But this movie, hard sell for me. Go watch the movie. You need to check this out. So I'm watching the movie. And you're right. It starts out, she's using a dating app. She meets a guy. They go on some dates. They're going to go away for the weekend. They're a happy couple. Blah, 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 blah.
It's a rom-com.
It is. It's a rom-com. They bang. It's pretty great. They go to his place, and then he drugs her, and she passes out. And boom, cut to opening credits. And I was like, holy shit. They really didn't do the opening credits till 33 minutes into the movie.
Uh-huh.
So we get the opening credits, and now it becomes a completely fucked up psychological thriller type movie where he essentially tells her, what I actually do is I lure young, naive women in who have no one in their life, and I drug them, and then I cut them up and sell them to wealthy clients so they can eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So he harvests their body parts, but he keeps them alive while he does it as long as they can.
And he's so honest, but cool, calm, and collected about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, we see him like cutting the, deboning the meat, cutting it up, preparing it, vacuum sealing it. You know what? I'm really not going to say much more than that. Go watch this movie.
It's unreal. Like,
yeah.
And it was funny because, like I said, we had to watch it over two different like times because we started watching it and we're like, no, we can't keep watching this. We were doing some other stuff. And so we came back to it and I was like, I'm more in the headspace now to watch a rom-com. And she's like, I don't think it's a rom-com. I'm like, it is. And then, like you said, the opening credits happen and it's fucking different. Mm-hmm. It's oh, it's you not think? That anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy shit. I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah. I was like, Mike's got to see this. Mike is going to love this.
Yep. Yep, I did. I did. I thought it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Sebastian Stan, great actor.
Yep.
Yeah, just, you're right. It's, people should watch this movie. I think it's one of those that kind of like flies under the radar because it went right directly to Hulu. And, you know, you don't hear a lot about it. You don't know. There's not a lot of hype. But it should have hype because it's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was one of those under the radar ones, but it is well worth your time.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Yep.
So does that just leave us with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
That leads us to just Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
So seriously, everybody, we're going to go in on this. Like, sometimes we will say, oh, this is a brand new movie, so I don't really want to talk about it. You know, we'll let people catch up. We're not doing that this time. We're going to go full ham on this. So if you don't want to hear it, go away now.
Yep. Yep. Definitely please go away.
Yep. So what you think?
I loved it. I loved it thoroughly.
Okay.
Sam Raimi, you can see his hands all over this.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, you can absolutely see his hands all over this.
Hardcore.
So, I mean, I really just want to jump directly to the Illuminati. Like, I don't care. I want to jump directly to the Illuminati.
Yeah, we could come back to the rest.
Where we see Haley Atwell as Captain Carter, live action version from the What If series, right?
Uh-huh. Looking First buff Avenger. As fuck.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Anson Mount is back as Black Bolt from the horrific Inhuman TV series.
But the fact that he came back.
Yep. And he's got the comic book costume on.
Yes.
Loved he that.
Sure did.
We got Maria Rambeau as Captain Marvel instead of Brie Larson.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, right?
Yep.
We got the world's smartest man, John Krasinski, as Mr. Fucking Fantastic.
So what's and really
talk about looking fantastic.
So this was like a fan casting years ago. I mean, this was years ago.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, if you could fan cast, and they were like, oh, John Krasinski should be Mr. Fantastic. We could even have Emily Blunt as Sue Storm because they're married in real life and blah, blah, yeah. blah. And to see him show up there, I kind of lost my mind.
I have to think because they say, oh, there's a version of us in every universe, right?
Yep.
So when we finally get the Fantastic Four in this MCU, you know, 616, it's got to be John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, doesn't it?
It has to, because Stephen Strange was the same actor, Haley Atwell, you know, Monica Rambeau, Patrick Stewart. Like, these were all the exact same actors that we've seen already. So they wouldn't bring him in as that and then be like, no, we're recasting him. So as far as I'm concerned, this now made it canon that John Krasinski is Reed Richards.
And we also got, like you just said, we got Patrick Stewart back as Charles Xavier. Except he's wearing the yellow wheelchair from the like X-Men animated series.
Dude, you're underselling it. He rolled on screen to a low-key version of the 90s X-Men theme song.
Yes, I fucking loved it. I marked out for that big time.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. But to see Patrick Stewart as Professor X again.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Oh, dude.
Tremendous. How many movies has he played Charles Xavier in now?
He set a record. He's played one character across more movies than anybody else.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's at least in the superhero genre, because it's the three. So first, no, not First Class. Days of Future Past. He had all three of the first X-Men movies. So X-Men, X-Men 2, the Dark Phoenix one, which was terrible. You know, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah.
Even though he died early on in that one. Days of Future Past, Logan. I feel like there was another one. He's now been in this one. That's seven. Anyway, I could probably look it up on IMDb, but either way, he's played that character in more movies than anybody else in a superhero movie.
X-Men, X-Men 2, X-Men The Last Stand, X-Men's Origins Wolverine, X-Men First Class? No, he was not in X-Men First Class.
No, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, Days of Future Past, there's six. What about the Wolverine?
No, he was not in the Wolverine, but he was in Logan.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Dark Phoenix?
I didn't watch it.
Nope, he wasn't there. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was just awesome. I'm just leaving with that. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Illuminati, amazing.
Wait, but does that make all the original X-Men movies now canon?
At least for that universe, I would say. I don't know which universe, but...
Yeah, that universe, yeah.
I love that they did the 616 thing again, you know. We didn't... Like, honestly, if you hadn't seen Loki, you wouldn't have been missing anything. Like, it didn't really touch on Loki in this one. Which was surprising, considering that Loki was all about the multiverse and how it opened up as a result of what they did.
And you don't really see... Like, they talk about Spider-Man in this movie, but Spider-Man's not in this movie either.
Right. Yeah, they make a few jokes there about Spider-Man and does he shoot webs out of his butt. And,
right.
Too many bug-themed heroes, you know, between Ant-Man and Spider-Man. And so going back a little bit, when we sat down, I was like, okay, at the very least, we need to watch WandaVision. We started watching it. And I kept telling Julia, I was like, the thing is with Scarlet Witch – well, Wanda Maximoff, I was like, she is so indescribably powerful. Like, it's beyond anything that most people can measure. And then, you know, you see what she did with Westview and how, you know, Agatha was like, you're powerful. You are power incarnate. And seeing her reading the Darkhold at the end, like, it gave a hint at how powerful she was. But then in this movie... Honestly, I had no idea that this was her movie. Like, this was Doctor Strange in title only. This was her movie. This was her follow-up to WandaVision. And this was all about her and the rest of her journey. Would you agree?
Yeah, I can't say that I expected or thought even that Wanda was going to be the villain. Wanda was the villain in this movie.
She was. Like, when he went to talk to her, because they were like, oh, it was a demon and it was – I saw runes. Well, that would be a witch. Let's go talk to her.
Yeah.
And then she knew America's name and she's like, oh, I never told you her – you never told me her name, did you? Well, the hex was easy, but – and then she's just like, yeah, I'm the villain. Holy shit, dude.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't expect that.
But what a beautiful turn for her. Like, this was a very loose telling of the House of M story from the comics, where she was so grief-stricken over the loss of her kids, she rewrote reality so that mutants were the dominant species instead of humans. But, fuck. Like, not, to use one of your terms from wrestling, a heel turn, but a beautifully done heel turn. Like, it was... completely believable. And honestly, like Julia was saying that she talked to one of her coworkers today, and this coworker never watched WandaVision, so most of the context was lost on her. And that's beautiful and tragic, because this is one of those, like, if you hadn't seen Spider-Man No Way Home, you're not missing a lot. Like you said, they kind of mentioned it, but they didn't really touch upon what he did in there. If you didn't watch WandaVision, you missed out on a whole plot. Like, you didn't understand why she was doing what she was doing. Like, the last thing you saw was she was upset that Vision was killed in Endgame, and now suddenly she's going after kids.
Yeah, you really needed to watch WandaVision to really grasp everything that happened. Mm-hmm. And like you said, and if you missed out on Loki, oh, no big deal. If you missed out on Spider-Man, no big deal.
Even What If, like, oh, okay, you would have kind of gotten more about Captain Carter.
Yeah. 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 Even if you missed out on What If, you no big deal. But yeah, missing out on WandaVision, mm-hmm. huge deal.
Oh, and they did. This was kind of a like subtle thing, but when the Illuminati was talking about their Stephen Strange, they said that when Thanos was invading, their Stephen Strange went into the Darkhold and tried dreamwalking to different realities, and he found one where he had destroyed the entire reality, yeah. and that's what kind of broke him. And I have to believe that that was the What If episode where – you know, the grief-stricken Strange, because, you know, that's how that episode ended, was that he destroyed reality.
Oh, that's got to be. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That has to be it.
Together. Yep. So I was like, oh, because we had just finished watching that as the movie came on. And I was like, oh, that's got to be the one. So, yeah, you would have. But I mean, that was just like a throwaway line. Like, it could have been any reality. But yeah, WandaVision was absolutely mandatory for this movie.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. You really couldn't. You would miss out on a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't make as much sense, and it wouldn't have the emotional impact. Like, WandaVision was beautiful anyway. The story of grief, the story of tragedy, and then to see her turn heel like this was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful story elements I've seen in a long time.
And honestly, they didn't waste any time with it. They didn't really tease it. It was an immediate, like, oh, I didn't tell you. You didn't tell me America's name, did you? No. Okay.
And well, I love how she was like, well, that was me being reasonable. Sending the demons after her was me being reasonable.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to be reasonable.
Yep. And even when they're like, well, why didn't she do this before? And she's like, yeah, that was her being reasonable.
Uh-huh.
Doctor Strange was. So, yeah, no, I love the movie. I like the introduction of America. Chavez. Thank you. I was close. It was close. Hispanic name.
Yep.
But I like the introduction of America Chavez. I thought that was good. I mean, I guess it's believable that she got her shit together by the end of the movie to get her powers in order, because it is Stephen Strange that was helping her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, no, I was here for it. I enjoyed the character. I enjoyed the movie. I can't really even pick it apart and say like, oh, I didn't like this part or I didn't like that part, you know?
It's not that I didn't like, but there was one thing that I would have liked more of, and that's multiversal travel. Like, they spent a lot of time in the 616 universe, then in the whatever it was, 818.
And it is called the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
But so, we got, other than, like, the quick, like, of them going through it, where we see, like, them, were we paint at one point?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we don't want to get stuck there. You know,
yep.
But yeah, you're right. They didn't really.
Other than that, we got the one that him and Christine ended up in.
Yep. 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 That one a little bit later on.
Yep. That was pretty much it.
Yep. No, that's true. What? Yeah. But again,
I'm not complaining. I'm not like, oh, that fucking sucked. I would have liked more multiversal things. But I guess that's what What If is for. Like, I was like, boy, if they had made this a TV series, then I'm like, they did. It's What If. So we got a lot of setup here. Like, America Chavez, we've already had
about him having the third eye at the end.
Loved it. Love it. Not necessarily evil. Some cultures see that as enlightenment, you know, so he's ascending to his next level. But what I was going to say is we've got America Chavez. We've had Kate Bishop. We've seen Kid Loki. We've even seen Wicca and what's his name? Wanda's kids. Like, they are really possibly setting up the Young Avengers.
Oh, absolutely. I think they are. I absolutely positively think they're setting up Young Avengers.
And that's fucking great. I'm here for that. I keep going back. I can't believe how beautifully they made her the villain. And like you said, they didn't even waste time. They were just like, yep, that's me. It was amazing.
But I also like how she got her... She became the villain, and then by the end of the movie, she got her, not retribution, but...
Redemption?
Redemption, yeah. She turned face. She went back to being a good person, if you will.
And you know she's not dead. She may have buried that mountain on top of her, but she's not dead.
Oh, God, no.
Fuck no. Going back to what you were saying about Sam Raimi's fingerprints being all over this, holy shit, dude. Like, watching her take apart the Illuminati was so Sam Raimi. The Captain Carter by her own shield. And I mean, he had to work within the confines of Disney and some of the stuff he got away with, you know, when he was like, Black Bolt could take you apart with one word from his mouth. She's like, what mouth? And then the fact that his head just imploded.
Yep.
Oh.
When he's like, whoo.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unraveling Mr. Fantastic, Captain Carter cut in half with her own shield, and then the horror show with Professor X.
Oh,
her
my God,
appearing out of the smoke and snapping his neck. Oh, yeah.
There was some Evil Dead elements in that. There was some Deadite elements in that.
Oh, so many. Like when you see the normal Wanda walking around with her boys and she stops and it's like the camera's just following and then hiding behind the stairs. I was like, that's fucking Evil Dead right there.
Yep.
And of course,
Bruce Campbell as Pizza Papa beating himself up.
Pizza Papa with the hand that was beating him up.
Yep. I love that so much.
And then the PS at the very end. It finally stopped.
And then he looks at the, you know, he breaks the fourth wall. He's like, it's over.
Yes. Perfect. That was absolutely. Pizza Papa always gets paid.
Yeah, no, I loved his cameo. That was, to me, that was perfect.
And watching his fist just beating him up was, again, so Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah. Very retro. Very much here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly, like, if anybody asked me, I would 100% say this was not Stephen Strange's movie. This was Wanda's movie. And I was so fucking here for it because I never saw it coming. I honestly went into this not realizing she was the villain. But they did so good. They did it so well.
I had no idea she was the villain either. I never anticipated or saw it coming. And maybe that's, I don't know, I just didn't see it coming.
You know what's really funny? That's going to be some twist on that is going to be the title of this episode, because that was what her version of Quicksilver always said in Ultron. Didn't see that coming, did you?
That's true.
So, yeah, we're going to tie this all back. That'll be the title. Didn't see that coming, did you?
What was I going to say, though? Oh, it's kind of like how Captain America Civil War wasn't a Captain America movie.
Right. Exactly.
It was essentially an Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope.
But I was talking to Rude about this the other day. Because Kane is one that actually pointed this out to me.
Okay.
Because I was talking about how the new Thor movie, because we got the trailer for the new Thor movie.
Yes.
We got the trailer for the new Avatar movie, which gives a shit.
Yep.
But the one thing that I mentioned to Kane was like, oh, yeah. And Kane goes... Kane's one that mentioned to me that Thor is the first Marvel character to get his own to get four standalone movies in this version of the MCU.
Yep.
Which is astounding to me that it's Thor.
It is. Now, can you still consider, I mean, they are Thor movies, but like this one features heavily the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Does it though? Or is it they just at the beginning of the movie?
Well, maybe they're just at the beginning.
And then they fly away.
They're in a lot of the trailer.
Right. But like Thor Ragnarok featured
Hulk.
Hulk a lot in it. And Valkyrie and others, you know.
Yeah. But and, they are still Thor movies.
Yes. You know what movie I haven't seen more than once?
What's
Love
that?
And Thunder. I mean, not Love and Thunder. Dark World.
I've seen it twice now because I watched
it. Oh, yeah.
Julia.
Is it worth...
No.
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 It's like Iron Man 3. No.
Yeah. It's not like all of these after watching them a second time or in Iron Man 3's case a third time. I actually liked Iron Man 3 better the third time, knowing what I know now and understanding grief, trauma, PTSD better. With Dark World, no. It still was a hard sell. It still was not a great movie. It wasn't terrible. It was better the second time, but it still wasn't great.
That's definitely not a promising sell you're giving it.
No, I can't. There's a reason that it's the lowest one other than Eternals, which I still haven't watched, but I'm going to make myself watch it.
I think Eternals was better than The Dark World.
Oh, wow. Apparently there was a cut scene in Moon Knight. They were going to tie it into the Eternals. They were going to show Kumail Nanjiani's character.
Hmm.
But then they didn't.
Well, I honestly think you should watch the Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you should watch Morbius someday.
Mm.
You know, on home video or something, anything but paying money to watch it. Unless you're renting it at Redbox for a buck and a half.
Uh-huh. Even that's $2 too expensive.
Yeah, it is, really. But Rude confessed now that, well, I kind of liked it. And I'm like, okay.
Huh. Okay.
I did not.
I don't think I will either.
Yeah, I did not. I'll be very straightforward about it. Was not a fan. Was not a fan.
Nope. Not looking forward to it.
Yep. Right decision on your part. Anywho, I mean, do we want? I mean, I know we gave it spoilers galore, but we didn't really talk about the storyline very much.
Storyline is pretty straightforward. I mean, we've hinted at a lot of it, but basically, America Chavez is the only one of herself in the multiverse that she knows of. I lost my mind when they talked about how when you dream, you're visiting one of your other lives in the multiverse, because I've been saying that for years in real life. So the fact that she said, you know, I don't dream, I'm the only one in the multiverse. She has the power to traverse the multiverse by creating these star-shaped portals. And so Wanda is trying to get her power, take her power from her so that she can travel the multiverse herself. And essentially they ask her about it and she won't give an answer, but usurp one of her own alternates, you know, go into one of the other universes where her kids are alive and they do exist and just take over and be their
basically
mom.
Kill that Wanda. And become their mom.
Yep.
And then she needs the power. She needs to steal America Chavez's power, because what if her boys get sick? Mm-hmm. There's got to be a cure in one of the multiverses for them, because they're like, well, you don't need to kill this girl to take this innocent child to take her power.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So but she wages war.
Won't her doing that though, like taking over that other person, cause one of those, you know, the worlds to collide in on itself and destroy 7 trillion people or something like that?
Quite possibly.
Well, isn't that what they talked about? Like the two worlds converging on one another and colliding and.
Yes.
And et cetera, et cetera. And that's what had happened to one of this worlds. We meet the Doctor Strange with the three eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the PS scene is Charlize Theron as a character. Isn't that her?
Clea,
okay. Now, Clea, have we seen her in anything else?
No, we have not. Clea, yeah. I had to look it up, is Dormammu's daughter.
Okay.
Dormammu from the first movie, you know, the Lord of the Dark Realm. Yep. Yeah, apparently, apparently him and his wife had this child and locked her away and tortured her. And now in the comics, Clea and Doctor Strange fell in love and got married and then fell out of love. But just recently, like 2021, Strange was killed. He's dead. Comic series called The Death of Doctor Strange, and Clea has taken over as the Sorcerer Supreme, but she's a much more violent and brutal Sorcerer Supreme. I think you're muted.
Yep, I'm muted. Huh, okay, well that's kind of interesting, I guess, then. But yeah, because she comes in that PS scene and is like, oh, a world's going to collide with another. We have to go stop it. And he's just like, cool. Yeah. Yep. And then he already has his like he's cool with his third eye and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
and he's gotten even better at like we saw it at the wedding where he kind of is able to disguise himself better. You know, the cloak is around him, but it looks like something else. And I love that he's kind of a celebrity now. Like the girl that came to take a picture with him and he's like, not now. Or at the wedding when Christine's like, can I introduce you to my husband? Because he's a huge fan.
He's apparently a big fan. And she almost seems annoyed by that.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess I can't blame her because, you know, it's her ex.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. But yeah, that was the basic storyline is that they, you know, world traveling. They're trying to stay away from Wanda, keep this girl protected. In the opening scene, the Stephen Strange of that other universe that's been helping her is going for the book that they need to stop her and decide
or something like that.
Yep. The Book of Ashanti. And he basically tells America, he's like, I can't let them have your power. I'm going to take it. And he tries to take the power from her. And so that's
and
kind
she's
of
like, but that's going to kill me. And he's like, I know.
Yep.
But it's the only way, or it's for the greater good, or his justification. And Wu, is it Wu? No, Chang. Wong, God. Even he's at one point like, you need to take her powers from her near the end. And that's when Strange is like, nah, we can do this another way.
I love that the way he was like, I'm going to dreamwalk. And they're like, wait, don't you need to have a living body of yours? And he's like, nope, just a body.
Yeah, just a body. It doesn't have to be living.
Oh,
and I love how
so
when, Wong
much trouble too.
When Wong sees him and he goes, I don't want to know what's going on.
Oh, I love how the demons tried to take him down and he basically fought back and controlled them.
Yep. You're Stephen Strange. They're just spirits. Use them to your advantage. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Sure.
Yep. God. Yep. Great.
It was a great movie. I do want to see it again.
Yep.
I'll probably wait for it to come on home video. I doubt I'll go see it again.
Right, right.
Yeah. In fact, I'm with the drive-ins opening back up again. I won't be inside a theater for a very long time.
Mm. It was really nice there at the drive-in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Pride's Corner, my favorite drive-in, is opening up here this coming weekend, the 13th, 14th, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
Have they said what they're going to show? Or
they did not say what they're going to start with. I feel like it's going to be Doctor Strange, though.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, probably. But we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know all the movies coming up this summer I want to go see. I do know I want to see the Thor Love and Thunder. I do know that. Yeah, that's it. It's the only movie I can think of off the top of my head coming out that I want to see at the theater this summer.
You said all the movies this summer, and I'm like, what does he want to see? Because I can't think of a lot.
Yeah, there really isn't anything. Like, I want to see Halloween, the new Halloween movie, in October.
Mm.
but otherwise, yeah, Thor. And that's about it. Wesley friggin' loved Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Like, I think he wants to see it again.
I can't wait to see it. I love the first one so much.
Yeah, the second one was really, really good. Like, he's quoting lines from the movie.
Nice.
And he's only seen it the one time. So I think he's just seen clips of it on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but he freaking loves that movie. Freaking loves it. It's like his first movie that he's really, really loved, I think.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yep. Let's passing it on.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do it. Addison the other day asked me if we could watch the Scream movies. And I said, well, of course we can, honey. Are you sure you're going to want to? But, oh, well, anywho, I don't have anything else, do you?
Holy crap. No, no, I think that's about it.
All right, well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm barely on Twitter. I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, but I'm mostly talking about wrestling-related stuff and dealing with wrestling-related stuff and mostly wrestling.
Yeah. Occasionally, I'll see some stuff pop up about video games that I'll check out. But
yeah. Mostly wrestling. So.
Yep.
But talk to you next week.
Yep. We'll see you next week.